Matthew chapter 5. I think that'll do. I've got some great news for you in the Word of God, and I was just praying. I spent a lot of time today praying, but a very, very busy week and a very busy time. And God just laid upon my heart as I was sitting down there to share this with you. Mark chapter 5. Did I say Mark chapter 5? Matthew. Well, that's even better, but this is good too. So as soon as you got Mark chapter 5, shout out, I got it. Got it? Good. Well, we'll stay there. Okay, pick it up, say it verse 24. I think that would do. It's a well-known story, and I won't preach very long tonight. Mind you, for a preacher, that's famous last words. I had a little kid sitting back of the church, and the preacher was looking at his watch, and the little boy said to his dad, he said, "What's that mean?" He said, "Not a thing, son, not a thing." But I'll just share my heart. You know, the anointing. I want to talk about the anointing. I love the anointing. I love the anointing. I reckon this, if you can have it and not feel it. I like to. Who likes to feel the presence of God? Who likes to feel the anointing? Amen. If you can have it and not feel it, then you can lose it and not know it. So I like to feel it. Now you say, well, we're not governed by feelings. No, I'm not governed by feelings, but I still like to feel it. I still like to feel it. Is that all right? And you know, you can feel the anointing. In this story, and I'll get to it in a minute, I'll read, but many of you already know it. There are thousands of people thronging Jesus, pressing him, touching him, jostling him, like you see on TV in a crowd. He was cutting through the crowd, thousands of people around him. But he was so loaded with the anointing, he was like a fully charged battery, but nobody got a thing, nobody felt a thing except him and the woman with the issue of blood. Isn't it amazing? Amazing. Hundreds of people, nobody felt anything except those two. And I'm going to share with you the key in a moment. So I love the anointing. Let me read it to you and then just see what God will say to us and through us. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So there was a crowd, big crowd, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in the marketplace. If you've ever traveled overseas, you know what crowds are like. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, so she'd been bleeding, hemorrhaging for 12 years, probably from the internal organs, and had suffered many things of many physicians. She had been poked, prodded, bled and beaten, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Had made her poorer, that's for sure. And she had heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt. Everybody say felt. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately knowing, everybody say knowing. So she felt it and Jesus felt it. Knowing in himself that virtue, the Hebrew word, the Greek word there is dunamis, power. That virtue, dunamis, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude throng you and you say, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, she was very shy, very timid, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be healed of thy plague. May God bless the reading of his own precious word. Hallelujah. I love that story. It's so simple, and it's so blessed of God. The anointing is the power of God in a tangible form. You can feel the anointing. Your body, my body, your body, and our brain and our central nervous system operate under the influence of two things: electrical impulses and chemical discharges. Chemicals flow down your nervous system and also electrical impulses. And it all comes from the central nervous system. And so when the power of God comes upon a person, and many times when I pray for people, they'll be overwhelmed by the anointing and they'll fall down under the power of God. You've done that yourself. You've seen that. Who's ever had that happen to them? You couldn't stand up for falling down. Glory to God. Well, I'm a bit like that. I'm a faller. Hello? I'm a bit of a hand trembler too, you know. You get the old these things going. You say, what's it all about? Well, I don't know, but it's God. But the anointing, like the power of God, will overwhelm your nervous system. Now, I was an electrician for 20, I still am an electrician, but three of my sons are electricians. So I was an electrician for over 20 years, and I've had more shocks than birthdays. I mean real shocks, some that knock you over the room. And what happens is when electricity comes through your body, it just contracts every muscle in your body because it just overwhelms your nervous system, because your nervous system works on electrical impulses. And so you get a shock, you touch something, and bang, your muscles will contract. And that's why whenever you're testing anything, foolish enough to do it, you touch it with the back of your hand, because if you touch it with the front of your hand will close on it, and that'll be goodbye earth and hello heaven. And when I first got saved, I got saved in 1949. Who was alive then? One or two of us. Right, I didn't say 1999, I said 1949. I got saved in the Salvation Army, Box Hill down in Melbourne. And I was telling the people on Wednesday night at our Bible study, and we'd been there for a couple of months, and my brother got saved. And then one night a young man stood up on the platform in uniform, and he picked up the old squeeze box. Who remembers piano accordions? You know, like you had a cat with its tail in your mouth and you just had it under your arm, and away she went. But it was beautiful, though. And as he began to lead the singing, he sang an old chorus, "Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus." And as he sang it, the anointing and the power of God was there. And I knew immediately this guy had something that I didn't have. I was saved. I loved God. I was seeking God. I was reading the Bible, but he had something. And at the end of the meeting, George and I were drawn to him like moths to a flame. And we said to him, his name was Kevin Connor. And we said, "Kevin, what is something different about you?" And he started to tell us that he had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I thought to myself, well, I want what you've got. And so we started going to these prayer meetings down at the Victoria Bible College in Wattle Valley Road in Melbourne. Saturday afternoon, I'd get down with all these Bible students. I'd start to get on my knees and seek God, and the power of God would come upon me. I didn't have the baptism, but I'd start to feel this tingling in the sides of my hands. It would start right there, and then it would increase, pins and needles. It would increase and increase and go up my arms, and then soon it would enter my rib cage, and soon my whole upper torso would be literally paralyzed by the power of God, and I would not be able to move. And here me like a fool lying on the floor, glory to God, just full of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we'd be like that in the presence of God, and I'd have to ask God to stop. The power of God was so powerful and so strong upon me. And I'd have to go home, I'd go down on the train, and it would take me 1 hour, 2 hours before the anointing would lift off my body. I didn't understand it, but I just knew that it was God, because I was seeking God. The Bible says, "The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." The anointing of the Holy Ghost. You need it. You were made for it. You see, you're not just a brain on legs. Touch your neighbor and say, "You're not just a brain on legs." It's not all your intellect. You think if you knew everything, had all these intellectual understandings, you were made for God. You were made by God. And until you get that sorted out, life makes no meaning. You are made by God and you are made for God. And you sort that out, life is irrelevant. And you are made by God for the anointing. You are made to feel the anointing, to feel the presence of God. People go to rock concerts because they want to feel something. People go to weepy movies because they want to feel something. But I want to tell you, that's the God dimension. When you were born out of your mother's womb, there was a hole already in your heart. You are a hole in the heart baby. And that hole can only be filled with Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. Glory to God. And so I love the anointing. And I can feel it. And I love the anointing. And this woman felt the anointing. That's what happened to her. Bible says, let's come back and look at the scripture. I'll only share a few thoughts. It says in verse 25, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" And you think of that, hundreds of people there. What was it that drew the anointing into her body? It was the touch of faith. I said to this before, I was about to say it, the anointing that you respect will flow towards you, and vice versa. The anointing that you disrespect will flow away from you. The anointing that you respect will increase in your life. The anointing that you disrespect will diminish in your life. Now, I don't want to get into arguments and conflict. I've got no time for that. I'm not interested in it. But some people are loving what God's doing in America, in Lakeland, and some people are hating it. Well, I want to tell you, those who disrespect the anointing, they need never bother about it, because it's not going to come their way. It'll never bother them. It'll never enter their church. They won't have to worry about it, so they needn't fight it. But if you respect the anointing, if you honor what God is doing, then it will increase in your life. And if you respect the healing anointing, it will increase in your life. I've spoken to people, and I remember one guy, he's an old man, lovely guy, loved God, but I said, all this healing, he said, I don't think it's even in the atonement. He was a Pentecostal guy. He said, all this malarkey and all these people, half of them are mad. And I thought to myself, well, do you get any, I said to him, do you get any miracles in your life? He said, no, I don't. And I thought to myself, yeah, and I know why. I know why. The anointing that you respect, it will flow towards you. It will increase in your life. So if you want to heal the sick and you respect those who've got that healing anointing, then it will begin to flow towards you. That's coveting earnestly the best gifts. And if you rubbish it and pull it down, say, ah, oh, they're all half mad, and the other crowd, well, I don't know who they are, but it's just all lunacy. If you do that, well, then it'll never bother you. You just sail on, all your, you know, hallelujah, nothing will ever happen. You'll never have to put any fires out. So you can burn the hose. Glory to God. See, the anointing. But this woman had a deep need. In fact, looking at the scripture, I'll just teach you a little bit. And oh, it's only 8:45. Praise God. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things. She was desperate. She was desperate. You know, it's David Wilkerson who started Teen Challenge and is still ministering in New York. Been to his church a couple of times. They're great. Man of God in his high 70s, and he's just, you know, ministered to hundreds, thousands of heroin addicts and drug addicts before it was sort of on the radar in society. And he said this: if you're desperate, you can get deliverance. And the reason why some people don't get deliverance is they're not desperate enough. God may even be letting you cook a little bit on the back burner, just letting you develop patience and also an urgency. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. I want a breakthrough. I want this miracle. I want to move in the Spirit. I want the power of God on my life. I want God to anoint what I'm doing. I want what God's got for me. And when you get desperate, the Bible says, in fact, that she pressed through the crowd. The Bible says there was a great press there. There's a great throng. And sometimes, in fact, as I was sitting there, God said to me, somebody in this meeting this very night even, or maybe this week also, has said, I don't feel God's presence like I used to feel it. Well, maybe you need to learn to press through into God. Now, I'm not a teenager. I'm 21 and some months, as you can perceive. And I reckon I'm working harder than I ever did. In a reasonable fashion, having the occasional lie down. But last Saturday, for some reason or other, I don't know why, I just felt very tired, extremely tired that day. And I knew that the next day I had to minister, and there would be several hundred people in that church wanting me to minister to them, to pray for them and touch them with the power of God. And I thought, well, I can't do it in my own strength, so I had to get alone with God. I had to get away from the television, get away from company, and I love company, get away and get alone with God and press into God. I had to push in. I had to press into God. And I want to tell you, some of you, if you're going to move in a new dimension and move in the power of God, you're going to have to press through the crowd. Time will be against you. Relatives will be against you. Here's another word of knowledge I got sitting there. Somebody here today, you're right in the midst of a family feud. And there's a real fight on. Also, somebody else in this meeting, you're being accused of something at work, and it's false accusation, but it's really taking a toll against you. I have a word from God for you. Silence is golden. Speak not a word. Be like Moses when his sister rose up against him. He fell on his face before God and said nothing. And you that are involved in family disputes, ask yourself, how much are you contributing to the fight? It's very hard to clap hands with one hand. Very hard to do the tango on your own. It's very hard to have a fight on your own. So if you say nothing, God will rise up and defend you. And this woman, anyhow, I don't know where that came from, but maybe the Lord. Hallelujah. This woman pressed through to God. Pressed through. And I'm praying that tonight you will get that in your spirit. If you're not feeling His presence, learn to press through. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In fact, slap your neighbor and say, he's right, you know. Yeah, glory to God. She had suffered many things and many physicians and spent all that she had, all her money, and was nothing bettered, but rather worse. You know, funny thing, until about 100 years ago, listen to me. I'm not old enough to remember, but I've read it in books. Until about 100 years ago, if you had something wrong with your hemorrhage, you know what the doctors would do? They'd put leeches on your back. Or they'd get a sharp knife and they'd cut slots in your back and they'd put a vacuum cup on it, a heater cup up, and then stick it on your skin. And all the blood would come out. And they'd take about a pint or two of blood out of you just to make themselves feel better. You didn't feel too good. And that's what they were doing to this woman. They were draining the life out of her, taking her money. They were doing the best they understood. God help them. I don't mock medical science. I honor them. I thank God for nurses and pray that they'll have warm hands. And so all these things. Historically, she had suffered. She'd been plagued and she couldn't get any. She needed a touch from God. And there are some things that a doctor can't do. There's some things that the best physicians can't do. And maybe you're sitting in this house today and this week you've had dread news from a doctor that this is the end of the line or you've only got so long to live. I want to tell you, Jesus, make room for Jesus. Jesus is the great miracle worker. God can do anything He wants. And if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That's how simple it is. And you need to learn to live like that. She pressed through and she had spent all her money and grew worse. I think I told you last time, I haven't been here for about 9 months. What did I preach on last time I was here? Yes, thank you. I thought you'd remember. It would have been good. Like the lady went to the doctor and she said, oh, doctor, she said, I am so deaf that I can't even hear myself cough. So he got a great big bottle of pills and she said, oh, will this help my deafness? No, he said, but it'll help you to cough louder. And some people, some doctors are like that. People wander all over the place. We were in the Philippines once and years ago and we were stopping at a resort preaching to all the AAG pastors there and there was a family there from America and every morning the father and the mother and the son, they'd get in a car and they'd drive up the mountains and I afterwards talked to them and said, where are you going? They said, oh, we're going up to the psychic healers. Daddy's got, they weren't in our conference, dad's got cancer, it's terminal. Day after day after day, they were going up the mountains to some psychic healer who was trying to heal them, and the fellow was as gray as ashes and looked terrible. But you see, people are desperate for an answer. They're crying out for help. They're hurting behind their curtains, hidden in their house. Their hearts are aching. They're lonely. They're frightened. Without Jesus Christ, they're alone and naked and blind in this cold, cold world. But you have Jesus. You may be the only Jesus they'll ever meet this side of heaven. You may be the only one, and you can be the one that'll bring the power and the presence of God. Anyhow, let's move on. And when she had heard of Jesus, thank God she'd heard, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I can imagine her pressing through the crowd, and here's Jesus walking in front of her. Jesus, from what we read, didn't even know she existed. Jesus was not exercising any faith. He was doing nothing, just going along to pray for Jairus' daughter to get her healed. He had his eyes on that focus. He didn't even know. In the natural, he didn't even know that woman existed. So, you see, oh, God's got to know all about me. Listen, if you've got faith, you can get God's attention. You see, your need might get God's attention, but it's your faith that'll get his power. And so she reached out, and Jesus didn't know, and she just wouldn't touch his body, but she touched the hem of his garment, the bottom of that long robe that he wore, and bang, just like sparks from smitten steel, shoo! Everybody go, shoo, shoo. It just flowed straight out of his person. It was like he was loaded with electricity. It came out of his body, didn't come out of his clothes, came through his clothes, but came out of his flesh, down the garment, down the weave, and the warp and the weft of the clothing, out onto her fingers, up her arm, the power of God, the anointing like electricity, up her arm, down into her body, and we'll imagine, I think justifiably, that it was the lower organs of her body, down there, and the power of God went to those areas and healed them in an instant. The power of God, just like a shock going into her body. She felt it. Jesus also felt it. And he turned him around and said, "Who touched me?" You can feel the power of God. You can. Now, it doesn't mean you're not saved if you don't feel it. Me, I'm a faller. I'm a dropper. I'm a shaker. I'm a trembler. Some of you, I'm not. That's okay. I explain it this way. Why is it that some people fall and others don't? The power of God's the same everywhere. It depends on their response. I've got weak wiring. My wife, she doesn't fall much. Occasionally, she's got strong wiring. So as soon as the power of God gets moving, I just blow fuses. It just overwhelms me. But that's not an indication that I'm more spiritual than her. In fact, she's a greater woman of prayer and faith probably than I am. But the power of God, if you'll allow God to move in, will overwhelm you. And there's times it will flood you. And if the anointing is strong enough, it'll overwhelm everybody in the house. I believe that with all my heart and soul. Everybody. Friends of mine, Frank Houston, he's going to be with the Lord, and Ray Bloomfield, and these are great New Zealand guys. You remember Ray? Yeah, that seminar we were at. Man alive, he was telling us once he was in a Washington, D.C., and he in a hotel having a great big meeting of about 600 or 700 people there, and he was preaching, and the power of God was so strong that everybody fell out of their chair on the floor. Everybody. And even the people out in the foyer and people out on the footpath. Literally. And I believe it. And you see, he was the only guy standing, Ray Bloomfield. And then he said that someone called the police because they were lying on the footpath outside the hotel. I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I lay down with the rest of them." Praise God. Oh, smart. Hey? Yeah, I reckon that's good. That's a word of knowledge. But the power of God can overwhelm you. And the woman felt it and went right to the source and the seat of her problem. And the power of God will have direction and focus. It's not just some hot and cold flush, just some happy, clappy feeling. It has a purpose. The anointing comes upon you for a purpose. I'm anointed to preach. I was born to preach. I'm anointed to preach. Catherine, your pastor, is anointed to preach, but also to heal the sick. There are different manifestations, but the same Spirit. There are different manifestations, but the same Spirit. Some people shake, others tremble, some laugh, some cry, some stand there like a statue, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's all right. Every time the Spirit of God comes upon me, I weep. That's me, I weep. I just begin to weep. I begin to cry out to God, I just weep. Anybody else like that out? Any weepers? Praise God. I just can't help it. Just overwhelms me, my spirit. Just I cry out to God. This woman felt the anointing. You can feel the anointing. You can have it tonight. And I know some of you feel it right now. Glory to God. But you have to have it constantly. You have to learn to press into God. You really do. Because you know, as well as I do, that in actual fact, you are totally alone in this universe, apart from God. And you know that. Well, we can love a wife, love a husband, love family. But when the light goes out at night and you're lying there in bed, you realize it's only Jesus in you. And if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You have nothing. You have nothing if you don't have Jesus. And so the woman felt the power of God. You see, faith, she had faith. In fact, in the closing verse in this passage, Jesus said, go in peace, thy faith has made thee whole. You think, well, he'd say, well, my anointing has made you whole. Well, that too, but basically the trigger, the key was faith, because faith places a demand upon the power of God. The power of God is always there. Jesus was always anointed. Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But when there's no faith, the anointing can't flow. Or hardly at all. You see, I think I've said this to you before, but it's worth something writing down. Go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. See, I've preached in hundreds of churches. Literally, I've been preaching since I was 15 years of age. And I preach on average 5-6 times a week. for the last 60, almost 60 years. And the thing is this, I don't bother going where I'm tolerated now. But you go where you're celebrated, and I want to tell you, it'll draw the preacher out of you. It'll draw the power of God. It'll draw the very best out of you. You go where the people are resisting and nothing much will happen. It's no good you shouting, spitting and thumping the pulpit and jumping on the chairs. You might as well have a cup of tea and all go home. Because they got what they came for. What did they come for? That's what they came for, and they got it. So let's all go home. But when you have faith, when you respect the anointing, this is why Pastor Catherine is able to minister to you so effectively, because you respect the anointing that's on her life, and it flows and increases. And I say, hallelujah, keep it up. And I know in my own church, your own fellowship, I'm no great strokes, but when people respect what is in you and they honor the anointing, it flows. So faith places a demand upon the power of God and it flows. You know, Jesus went to his own family, went back home. And the Bible says this, that he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. He was just as anointed in Nazareth as he had been in Jerusalem or Capernaum. He was just as anointed. He hadn't lost the anointing. He hadn't lost it. And sometimes you'll go places and nothing will happen. You think, oh boy, I've lost it. No, don't declare that. Don't declare that. That's not true. See, atmosphere is created by what you acknowledge. If you acknowledge the presence of God, there'll be an atmosphere of anointing. If you acknowledge fear, the devil will come. If you acknowledge bitterness and uncleanness, if you acknowledge anxiety and fear and worry and hatred, that'll be all around you. But if you acknowledge, you create an atmosphere by what you acknowledge. And I acknowledge that God is here tonight. And the moment that woman touched Jesus, it became a point of contact. And just flowed right into her, just like electricity, just like sparks from smitten steel. Very interesting thing. I've never preached on this, but I got that. This is a good seat there. I got a lot of things there tonight. Hallelujah. I might take that one home. And what was I going to say? Mark chapter 16. Bible says this in the last few verses. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall lay..." Speak to me. "In my name they shall lay hands on the sick." That'll do. Hands. Your hands become an extension of God. There's something about a touch. There's something about touching a person. There's something about shaking their hand or stroking their cheek. Your hands. The Bible doesn't say just your word or you write a letter or blah, whatever. And they can be good, but they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall lay hands on. That's a point of contact. That's face to face. That's close. That's contagious. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I like mass healings. I like television programs, DVDs, tapes. There's an anointing that can flow through them. But the ultimate anointing, Jesus said, would come through the laying on of hands. So remember that. I just got that sitting there tonight. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. The anointing. Faith places a demand upon the power of God. How can I illustrate that? It's like the battery in your car. It's full of power. It's all charged up and you've got to start a motor and the engine and the tank is full of petrol. But you turn that key and engage the solenoid, you place no demand upon the battery and nothing happens. Betty and I went around the world a few years back and visited all sorts of places. When I first went to Dave Wilkerson's church in New York, in Times Square, New York. And when I came back, we'd been away 3 months, and the car had been sitting in the garage there, and it was time for me to go down and collect the mail and get some milk. So I went down and put the key in the ignition, turned it, and shoom, the battery flooded life, power went down this big cable into the starter motor. All you blokes understand starter motors. And it shot up the Bendix shaft, engaged the ring gear, and turned the engine over. And away she went, and I drove out of the garage. Now that power, that motive power, was sitting idle for 3 whole months. 90 days, never moved an inch. But the moment I placed a demand upon the battery, it roared into life. And that's the way the Holy Ghost goes. When there's faith in a meeting, you can feel it. Sometimes when I'm preaching, there's a pocket over there and there's a pocket here. And these people are drawing it out. You can just feel the faith placing a demand upon the power of God, and it flows. Hallelujah, it flows. Glory to God. Touch your neighbor and say, oh, do you feel it? Glory to God. Yeah. Yes. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Oh, I love the anointing. If I may, but touch. She wanted to touch. She knew she had to touch him. Again, this hand thing. I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And so her touch became a point of contact. And Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue, that's dunamis. That's what the Greek word there is, the dunamis, the power. We get the words like dynamite and dynamic and dynamo from that pure Greek word. The electricity had gone out of him. You see, I think I've quoted this before, and no doubt you've heard it quoted by better lips than mine, but John G. Lake, who was a doctor of mechanical engineering, Dr. John G. Lake, said this, that electricity is the power of God in the natural realm, and the anointing is the power of God in the spiritual realm. And I tend to believe that. Being an electrician, I understand it a little bit. Whenever there's an electric storm around, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Is there anybody else like that? Put your hand down. How many people realize that this is wintertime? Good. Some of you are awake. A strange thing happens in Queensland in wintertime, and you may have already picked it up today. The air is dry. And so as the dry air goes over your body and you're not perspiring and there's no clammy skin and no humidity, it builds up on the surface of your skin a charge of static electricity of some considerable volts. And if you're not wearing leather shoes but you're wearing rubber sole shoes, you go with your key and you go to touch the handle of the door. Ooh, you get that crack. Who's ever felt a belt of static electricity? Well, the moment you made contact. Now, leather shoes, of course, because there's a little bit of perspiration in the bottom of your shoe. You enjoying this? It's a little bit of a physics lesson. Is this all right? And it'll bleed off your body down through leather shoes. But rubber sole shoes or nylon clothing, if you sit on a lambskin seat cover and you got nylon clothing on, you'll build up a charge that'll just about light every light in Brisbane. Man, bang, I was down the South Island once preaching, and we were stopping at a hotel up at Rama Rama, up in the Alps, and there's a Chinese lady who wanted to get my signature and buy some books, and so she had a gold pen, she passed it over to me for me to write my name on a piece of paper, and bang, without a word of a lie, a spark a half inch long just flashed out the end of the pen into my hand. I thought, oh, it's the anointing, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you got to win somehow, don't you? But you can feel it. You can feel it. Because that's the way it is. So that's why John G. Lake said that the electricity is the power of God in the natural and the anointing is the power of God in the spirit. Now, when there's an electric storm, we'll get back to the electric storm. The hair on the back of my neck stands up. I'm very sensitive to it. And it builds up in the sky. The clouds build up at tremendous charge, millions of volts, not thousands, millions of volts. It takes 32,000 volts to jump 1 inch of air gap. 32,000 volts to jump 1 inch of air gap. So you imagine how many volts there is in a strike of lightning 1,000 feet long. Shoo! No wonder it splits trees. No wonder it kills people. But the power of God is like that. You can resist it. You can say, oh, this is all baloney. This is tripe. All these people are mad. I'm going home. And you can resist the power of God. But if the power of God gets strong enough, it'll even overcome your resistance. It'll even overcome it. It'll just be like a lightning strike. It'll just break through. And that has happened at times. In the Old Testament, when they dedicated the temple, the power of God was so strong that the priests couldn't stand up. They just fell down. Their central nervous systems were swamped by the power of God, and they collapsed under the power of this thing. So don't be resistive to the power of God. I worked in Melbourne as an electrician for years, and my foreman, Norm Lynch, he was a Christian man, but he was a guy that had very dry, tough skin. And he could put his finger in a light bulb and tell you whether it was 230 volts or 400. Well, I could have told you too, but I'd be over the other side of the room. And Norm could do that because he had dry skin. Some people can do that, but that's don't go home. Don't try this unless supervised by an adult. Some people are resistive to the power of God. Say, oh, I sat here and never felt a thing. Jim Williams was up there getting red-faced and spitting and all sorts of things, and I never felt a thing. Well, help yourself. And there's others, the moment you come near them, they fall out of the chair. That's right. We had a young Chinese man in our church in Hamilton. He got converted, came over to study at the university. We had hundreds of them get saved. Hundreds of them get saved in Hamilton and at the university. And he was a computer geek and a PhD in it. And he came to our church and gave his heart the Lord. And he was sensitive to God. He'd come out of Buddhism. In fact, his mother came over to cut her throat on the steps of our church in protest against his coming out of Buddhism. And we managed to talk her out of that, praise God. And I would only come down off the platform, and he would sit in the front, and he'd fall straight out of the chair, just on the ground. As soon as I got within 12 feet of him, bang. There's a force field. Do you know that your spirit can be bigger than your body? At times, there's times when your spirit can be so big it can fill the whole room. And there's other times when there's opposition or fear around, it'll shrink till it's the size of a walnut. And you know that's true. There's a force field around you. When David ran away from Saul, he went up the mountain with Samuel, the two prophets, and he was prophesying, Samuel was prophesying, and the anointing was so strong that when King Saul, that rebellious, wicked-hearted man, came within 500 meters, he fell on the ground. And as he crawled up the hill, coming closer, he stripped his clothes off, took off his crown, took off his sword, took off his badge of office, and lay all night, in spite of himself, prophesying. The power of God can be so strong in a meeting that people will weep and feel the presence of God, yet they don't know God, and the moment they walk out the door, it's all gone. A borrowed anointing. They basked in the blessing of somebody else's anointing. Nothing wrong with that, but you should have your own anointing. You should be carriers of the anointing. You know, you've heard Catherine Kuhlman say, or perhaps on tape or something like that, or in the books, and you know, God's not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. Every one of us should be carriers of the anointing everywhere you go. Now, when I get out, and I'm a bit of a talker, I talk to everybody. When there's no one around, I talk to dogs. And when there's no dogs around, I talk to lampposts. I just am a talker. I just like people. Hello? Sometimes it'll take me an hour to go from one end of the supermarket to the other. I was at the Hyperdome one day, and I remember I actually prayed and counseled with 18 people before I got from Bilo to Kmart. 18 people. And I love it. But here's the thing. You can carry the anointing. People will be drawn to you like a magnet. They want to stand near you. There's just something about you. Something about you. They'll be drawn to you like a magnet because of the anointing. The anointing is attractive. It's like magnetism. It draws people to you. I believe that. Conversely, you can go into a room and there's somebody full of devils or full of rebellion, and the moment you come through the door, bang, you set their alarm clock off. And within 10 minutes, they've got their hands around your throat. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You think, boy, what's wrong with me? I used to say to the Lord, Lord, I wish you'd take all this stuff out of me and just let me be like one of those nice Anglican preachers with a lovely plummy voice. And, oh, yea, behold, brethren, may the Lord bless thee as thou comest in and goest out. God bless thee. Let's all have a cup of tea. And I used to say, Lord, why is it that I set some people off? And I realized it's the anointing. If they've got a different spirit, they'll clash with you. There'll be a thunderstorm. And that'll happen. You think, boy, what's the matter with me? Well, we might have to make allowance for the fact it's the anointing. And wherever you go, you disturb the balance of power. You disturb the atmosphere because you bring the presence of God into a dark place. Jesus knew in himself, who touched my clothes? The touch of faith is different. You see, your faith becomes a conductor. Electricity flows through a conductor. And this is interesting, and I'm actually trying to close. I'm looking for a hole in the clouds where I can land this thing. As an electrician, we would put all these cables up here are copper. Copper is a good conductor of electricity. Wood is an insulator. Ceramic is an insulator. Plastic is an insulator. So electricity will take the line of least resistance. And if you're not resisting God, you'll get so much of the anointing and the person next to you will be stifling a yawn. You're made of copper, they're made of wood. Metaphorically speaking. Can you see that? Can you see that? People blame God, shake their fist. I never felt a thing. Well, friends, you need to get copperated. You need to get anointed. You need to get changed. You need a little bit of Holy Ghost metallurgy. You need to get changed. Some people, their hearts are iron. Their hearts are stone. I defy God to bless me. They come on the prayer line like that and they set their feet and there's no way I'm going down, boy. They're like a rugby prop. Ray Bloomfield was at our church one night and there were hundreds there and he had a word of knowledge over everybody and bang, down they went and he came to one little guy and I knew this guy well and I saw him, and sure enough, Alex braced himself. And then Ray looked around, prayed for him. He never moved, you know. So Ray put his foot behind him and just pushed him over. I want to tell you, he needed it. Hello? Hello? It did him the power of good. Broke his scorecard and humbled him. Wrecked his average. Praise God. Oh, wreck our averages, God. Humble us. Humble us in Jesus' name. She fell on her face before God. Fell before God. Every time Moses was challenged, for you that have got a feud on your hand, every time the Bible says he fell on his face. Didn't say a word. Silence was golden. He fell before God. Say, Lord, you defend me. If I'm indefensible, then let me lay here. But if I'm to be defended by you, then I'll rise in your glory. Let God speak your case and argue, be your attorney at law. So the touch of faith, throw the switch, point of contact. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. She had faith. Now, you say it might be scandalous to say that Jesus didn't seem to have any faith at the time. He didn't even know the woman existed. He said, who touched me? He wasn't play acting. This was not some drama for the book. Who touched me? He didn't know. He didn't know. Don't forget this was God in a limiting body, a human body. He didn't know. Somebody touched me, but I don't know who. I felt the anointing go out. Out of all that crowd, only two people felt it, Jesus and the woman. And what you have, the experience that you have with God, don't let anybody mock it. Don't let anybody rubbish it. It's your experience with Almighty God. And you must honor it as such. Because if you dishonor it, and say, oh, well, maybe it was imagination, maybe it was marginal hysteria, you know, maybe it was a psychological aberration. Well, it'll just lift off you. It'll go to somebody else who's hungry for bread and thirsty for water. So honor what God's done. And don't mock what God has done with someone else. We were in our church about 6 weeks ago, and Sunday morning, I was sitting in the front, like Kathy was leading, she's our worship leader, and the next thing I saw, a beautiful little gray feather floating down right in front of me. I couldn't believe it. I said, Betty, did you see that? She said, yeah. And then another little one floating down in our meetings. We had a time back before where gold dust started to appear on the floor. So much that the little kids were crawling around and they had those little plastic zip sachets. And Betty, to this day, my wife still has a little one in her Bible with gold dust all down the bottom. You say, what's it all about? I don't know and I don't care. I don't know and I don't care. God can do what he jolly well likes. You see, God is an extravagant God. God made the earth. He can do anything. And I want to tell you, you can't put him in your box now, no matter how pretty it is. God will do anything out of the box. And you know that in experience and from the Word of God. And that woman should not have been touched. She shouldn't have been out in society. Under the law, you know the law, she was unclean, ceremonially unclean. That's the way they treated diseases in those days, and probably for justifiable reasons, because most things were contagious in ancient days, as they are now, but suppressed by medicines. And so she shouldn't have been on the streets. But here she was. She was desperate. She pressed into God. The anointing flowed into her. She got a miracle, and it was her faith that released the power of God. I personally believe, within limitations, that the power of God is a constant. You know what a constant is? That means it doesn't vary. Like 2 and 2, or pi is 3.14, blah, blah. That's a constant. It never changes. The speed of light is a constant. The anointing is a constant. But are you tapping into it? You can have it at work. You can have it milking a cow or pulling a plow. Matter of fact, I've got it now. Hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. You can have it as much at work as when you're in church. And I live like that, friends. I praise God. My car is a cruising cathedral. I'm worshiping God as I go. I'm speaking in tongues, walking around the house. I'm blessing God. I wake up and I'm praying. I'm talking to people and I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I worked for years as an electrician. I'd be up a ladder fixing something on the aerial and I'd be weeping. The presence of God would be on me. I went to an old lady's house once to fix her vacuum cleaner. Dear old lady, and I got talking to her about Jesus. I said, can I pray for her? She started to cry. I started to cry. We laid hands upon her. She got healed. And then I fixed the vacuum cleaner. You can have the anointing anywhere. Yes, yes. Buying the food and cutting the lawn and changing the napkins on your baby. You can have as much anointing. So don't compartmentalize it. Don't secularize it, because that's what secular means. To put it in a certain area. Don't do that. The anointing can be upon you anywhere. And in fact, I'll tell you this. I've sometimes had the anointing come on me in the strangest places. Hello? I'm not going to ask you for any testimonies. I'll briefly give you mine. I'd been over preaching in New Guinea, and I came back. I'd been away for 30 days, and Betty was so glad to see me. I said, oh, let's go. We don't go to the pictures much. Let's go to the movies. And we went to see, it was a good movie. Well, I thought it was good. I can't remember much about it. Dr. Zhivago. And we were, yeah, good grief, yeah, well, just moving on. You haven't seen it, obviously. Moving on. Funny thing, I had a word of knowledge a couple of weeks ago, and I said, God says to me that some of you, he knows what you did last summer. Apparently, that's the name of a movie, which I've never seen. Someone said, oh, don't go. But anyhow, here's a train going across a great snow-covered field just before intermission. And as the train was going across, God started to speak to my heart about what he was going to do through our church and take me to different cities in New Zealand and some great things. And when the kids got up to have an ice cream, and Betty and I said, I couldn't move. I could not move. And Betty turned to me and she said, a funny thing happened. I said, what? She said, God just spoke to me. I said, a funny thing happened. She said, what? I said, God just spoke to me. And I shared with her what God had said to me. God can talk to you. Don't test this too much. God can talk to you in a picture theater. I've been all sorts of places that didn't seem to be conducive to the anointing. Here's a woman got healed, not in a church, not in a healing crusade, not in a revival, but in a sweaty, dusty, noisy, sinner-filled marketplace, because she touched Jesus, touched Jesus, touched Jesus. And the power of God flowed into her. So it's not about the age of the preacher, youth, vigor, white hair, no hair, whatever. It's not about the education or even the language. We just sent off Eva Waddell's father, Vaco Tick. We prayed for him Wednesday night. He's going over to Fiji to preach. He's 80 years of age. He preaches in New Guinea and Philippines and India. He's been to India 38 times. He's a builder. He's got a few bobs, so he sponsors himself. And I'm going to tell you, I said this publicly in front of people, I don't know how God does it. I can't understand a word he said, and he's speaking in English. You got anyone like that? Isn't that right, Eva? I mean, he speaks in Finglish. In Singapore, they think they're speaking English. They speak in Singlish. Who's ever been to Singapore? Well, he speaks in Finglish, and I can only understand about 40%. You imagine him getting over to Fiji, speaking English, and this other guy then translating it into Indian or Fijian, and by the time he gets three stages down, man alive, it could be a cooking recipe for all I know. And yet God uses him. It's nothing to do with his ability to sing or transmit things in beautiful, flowing, grammatical, rhetorical words. It's with demonstration and power of the Spirit. And the anointing, my friend, is absolutely irresistible. It's like a stroke of lightning. If you resist it, it gets strong enough. Wambo! Wambo Jimbo, look out! And so the anointing, I believe the anointing is here right now. God wants to touch you. God wants to touch you. Here's a little word of advice just before I pray for you. Don't demand that God do it the way you think he should do it. I'll tell you why. This is very simple. If you keep on demanding that God do what he's always done, all you'll ever get is what he's always done. You just keep on getting the same old, same old, same old. Hello? It's just what he did yesterday. Oh, that's all God can do. Okay, well, you get yesterday's food, yesterday's manna, yesterday's blessing. Let God do what he wants to do tonight. There's a lady here, and I think you were born in Ireland. Is it you? Where were you born? No, the lady behind you. Where were you born? What country were you born in? You know, you're the lady. Yeah. Here? Where were you born? England? Where? Egypt. Indonesia. Are you of Dutch origin? Well, God not only loves you.